Hasn't the singing been superb, spirited, encouraging? And we're so thankful for the opportunity of this Lord's Day morning to assemble in the way that we are. So thankful for the teaching of the Word of God that can be a great source of faith and fidelity and encouragement to the normal way that you and I will live. You know, the first day of the week, as the name suggests, is followed, if God blesses us, with the other days of the week. And that which strengthens us on this particular day can be a powerful force for good in our life as you and I approach the remaining days of this week. So good to be here today and thankful for our membership, our visitors and guests, and all who've come our way. I would remind you that the 2 o'clock service today, this will be the third Sunday in which we are going to be meeting in that vein and in that way. And this will be our first question and answer session of this new year, of course. So please keep that in mind. If at all you can, be with us at 2 o'clock this afternoon. For the next few moments, would you consider with me a lesson I have chosen to relate to color? The colors in the Bible. Bible references to color. This opening slide is one that merely attempts to state in a very general way some features like this. The gospel of Jesus Christ is such an overwhelmingly brilliant thing. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 12, among so many other verses, would testify of us that truth. Suffer all things for the gospel's sake. And yet, among the beauty of God's creation, surely you and I would include the reality, the perception of color. It adds a vividness to our world. God has fashioned the human eye in such a way that you and I, and of course certain creatures as well, can perceive the differences in light. And you and I call it color, whether it be red or blue or orange or green. And all the while, as we reflect upon the colors, we realize it's a part of that which God has made. And though it's true that there are some afflicted with color blindness, nonetheless, we still can appreciate the shades of hue. And God, on occasion, uses the references to color in a way to fortify our understanding and to lead us to a deeper appreciation of that which is under discussion. And so for the next few moments, what about some characteristic Bible passages that refer to color and some lessons that you and I can extract from them? At the bottom of that slide, I've listed for you that you and I are quite accustomed to thinking about the rainbow, and aren't we impressed by it whenever we see it? The features about these colors as they appear, and they're always in order. They move from red all the way to blue or deep violet. And as you and I look at the orderliness of that rainbow and the testimony that it provides, I hope, among other things, it takes us back to various references in the Word of God that we'll make mention of as we proceed in this lesson this morning. For right now, why don't we look at our first color? Red. You and I might remember that when Esau was born, he was called a name that gave us a recognition of the redness connected to what one would see in his skin color. But we aren't going to talk about Esau by and large. Probably the very reference of red would make us think, at least in terms of religious things, about blood and the characteristic color of it. The Bible, in fact, itself makes reference to connecting red to blood. It does so in 2 Kings 3:22, and we even see references to it in Revelation chapter 6. All the while, blood red. In fact, as we start that journey, in many ways I did wish to use it first because of the great significance that it has. I've tried to word it in ways like this. Blood is absolutely necessary for life because the life is in the blood, Leviticus 17:14. Although the human family hasn't always understood that. In fact, by and large, that's only been known for the last few hundred years. But now you and I understand that the criticality of life connects to the blood. And without a sufficient amount of it and healthiness related to it, the overall body, at the very least, will be unhealthy. And it may well, of course, be fatal. Giving consideration to blood, the Hebrew writer would put it like this in Hebrews 9:22. Without the shedding of blood is no remission. I know as you and I have looked at the characteristic teaching of the Bible, we have so often recognized that sacrifice was critical. Now today, of course, Jesus has been and continues to be our one and only sacrifice. Think about those folks in the Old Testament era. How many lambs, rams, goats, and other animals they saw slaughtered at the tabernacle, the temple, or otherwise. And all that blood had to be dealt with properly because God had specified it so. The priest would on occasion have to dip his finger into it and touch various elements of the person's body with it, or sprinkle it around the altar, or in otherwise deal with it as appropriate. So to see blood would have been rather common for them. Sometimes today, blood makes us queasy. Maybe you're a person like that. If you see someone else bleeding, it might cause your stomach to feel a little bit upset. But may we never forget that without the shedding of blood is no remission. You see, blood is essential not only for the reality of physical life, but for spiritual life. There can be no life without the greatness of the blood of the Master. And so maybe when you and I think about red, maybe it brings to our mind the significance connected to blood. Jesus, of course, shed His blood. And that blood was such that it did make available and possible the remission of sins. When I commit that which I shouldn't, there is an agency, a great power in the blood of Christ to cleanse that, if I will but make application of it. And the same is true for you. Isn't it true? The devil is described as that great red dragon. The word red is thus connected in that context to him, Revelation 12 will tell us. It could be in all those matters. We're reminded that red has a significance connected on the one hand to blood and the remission available in it. I am reminded, and perhaps you are too, about one of the sins that's specifically connected to it is the redness of liquor, the redness of the wine spoken of in Proverbs 23. Maybe that's another reminder the devil's behind that and the significance that connects to it. But we've at least begun our journey. We've encountered the color of red, and we have seen in it this which reminds us of forgiveness, the characteristic color of blood. But what about additional colors? Other colors to be found in the Word of God. Our next one proceeds in this direction. Green. When you think green and its appreciation in the Bible, what ideas, what details appear before you and me? As I looked at the various verses, it seems that one issue that certainly is a major one is the abundant and beautiful and great provision of God. In fact, I've called to your attention Genesis 1 verse 30 and Psalm 23 verse 2. The latter one is, of course, very familiar to us. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And those pastures spoken of in that verse and the next one highlight God's provision, the abundance with which He makes sure that His children have enough, have sufficient. You notice that green reminds us of that. You can imagine cattle or sheep or other animals when they have access to a wonderfully green, lush field, satisfying the needs for their hunger, satisfying the other needs for that which they require. And yet, isn't it true that David would say that I have been able to be led out into green pastures? What about you and me? Are you thankful for the green pastures God has given you? Are you and I mindful of the One who makes those possible and who has been so abundant to give them to us? God's provision, you see, is highlighted by the color green. But may I point out to you, not only does it connect to our physical blessings, and those are many, but green is also connected to the spiritual blessings we enjoy. Psalm 52 verse 8, as well as Jeremiah 17 verse 8, in both passages, there green is not connected to physical blessings, but to the abundance of the connection to God and the arrangement we feel by virtue of that. Are you thankful to be a Christian? Does it rest upon your heart in such a way that we truly recognize the great blessing that's ours because there are many in the world who are not by their choice? And yet you and I are connected to God in a beautifully provided way, and green should be a reminder of it. Furthermore, on that slide, it's certainly possible to misuse God's provisional blessings. We have found examples in the Bible such as 2 Kings 16:4, but we also remember that you and I are encouraged to be thankful to God for those provisions. I've asked you to notice Psalm 57 in that connection, because isn't it true from the Hebrew writer that God did fashion things and did it well, and He should be given the glory for that? Oh, how sad it would be for you and me to enjoy the great blessings He's given us, but to not express our thanksgiving and our gratefulness because of it. So far, Red has reminded us, on the one hand, about blood and forgiveness and remission, and now green has brought us to think about God's provision and how abundant it is. The next color journeys more forward into this discussion and goes like this. I chose to put two different colors on this one due to the brevity of each one of them. Nextly, would you think with me about blue? Now, I have combined it with purple, quite frankly, because many of the passages, it seems, mention both of them. When you think of blue in connection to the Bible, what comes to your mind? When you give first recollection about passages perhaps connected to blue, could I remind us, many of those we see connect to the blueness of royalty. Those of high position and high estate. And many times the robes and the other colors that they wore were, quite frankly, said to have been of blue. In fact, in Ezekiel 23:6, as well as Ezekiel 27, we learn there about, again, blue in relation to the royalty of the day and time. And wasn't it true that Lydia was a seller of purple in Acts chapter 16? Now, it turns out that in the Mediterranean Sea, there was a certain creature that, in fact, could be utilized to generate and produce this beautiful hue of blue and purple. And the royals enjoyed wearing robes of that because it was so exquisite and it was so beautiful. There is a great royalty connected to the finery of God. You see, God doesn't do things haphazardly, and He doesn't do things in a way that is less than ideal. Our God is perfect. Our God is infinite in that regard, and in so doing, that which He does, from the tapestry of His universe to the finery of the creation of earth itself, all of it testifies to His majesty, to the royalty and finery of His way. In Exodus 26:31, we remember the old tabernacle of the Old Testament era. Blue was a part, you see, of what the covering was of its character. Part of it was of blue. At this point, isn't it an astonishing thing to remember? They placed a purple robe on our Master in the time before they crucified Him. Now, you'll notice they were mocking Him. They were making fun of Him. He's supposed to be a king, and yet we just whipped Him near to death by way of a scourging, and now they put a purple robe on Him. Though they mocked Him, He really was a king. He was the king later spoken of as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I hope as you and I would read passages like John 19, then where they put that purple robe on the Master. And though they were making fun of Him, I hope we honor Him as the King that He really is. And that He is the head of the church, and He is the beautiful truth upon which it's founded. For didn't Peter make that statement in Matthew 16? Thou art the Christ. And it was Jesus who then said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. One by one, as these colors have come before us, we notice on strategic locations and places, we find the Bible referring to color. At the bottom of that slide, we encounter black. I chose to be a bit brief about the matter of black. likely we all would be quick to say that in the Word of God, we seemingly see black connected to destruction. We see black connected to darkness, which obviously it reminds us of. But destruction is so frequently connected to blackness, as in Lamentations 5, verse 10, as in Jeremiah chapter 4. In those cases, when the people of Israel were soon to go into captivity, the word black was used to remind them and us about the place they were going, the blackness of the destruction of Jerusalem, the blackness of their captivity, separated from God in a heathen place and land. So to think about destruction in connection to that which is black, maybe there's the tip of that iceberg that leads us to this. There's one final connection we make. Black is connected to death in Revelation 6. Do you remember that in Revelation chapter 6, verse number 5, mention was made about the horses that the Revelation writer had been blessed to see, and one of them was, of course, the black horse. And that symbolized, as you and I learned in our study of the Revelation last year, it symbolized the nature of the crushing blows brought about by famine and difficulty and challenge. But later on in verse number 12 of that same chapter, we notice its connection to death virtually identically. One by one, red, could you review with me briefly in your mind, as red was connected again to the beautifulness of the redemption available in blood, green to God's provision. We also saw the blue connected to the royalty and finery of God. Now we appreciate this black to be destruction and finally death. You'll notice that the Holy Spirit chose to use color in all of these texts to help us visualize and mentally embed the thought that's being described. I suppose all of that still leaves us with the lesson text, of course, and some other texts as well. Before I launch into that part, why don't we look at a rainbow? We are quite familiar with the Bible's presentation of the rainbow and the certainty that it presents to us. The rainbow, of course, presents a spectrum of colors as it transitions from red all the way again to indigo, or in fact to violet. As all of those are presented, what a tremendous reminder of the absoluteness of God's promise. He promised He would never again destroy the earth, the world, by a flood of waters as He did in the days of Noah. And in Genesis chapter 9, He placed a bow in the clouds. You and I have the privilege of seeing a rainbow many times in a year. When a rainfall has happened and the sun is at the right location, we invariably see a rainbow. The laws of optics or the laws of physics make it so. And so it is, that it's not the beauty of the rainbow that should be the most pressing matter on those moments, as great as the rainbow's colors are. It should be a reminder of the trueness, the steadfastness, and the certainty of God's promises. Never again will the earth be destroyed by a flood as it was on that occasion. However, it is also true that the rainbow occurs strategically in other places in the Bible, as in Revelation 4. There, you recall that those beleaguered saints, those who were under such duress, John, what you see right in the book, I saw the doors of heaven open and a rainbow over the throne of God. A rainbow, reminding us of who is still on the throne, the certainty of His reign, and He has not abdicated, nor will He ever. We serve and we worship the God of heaven. The rainbow was still in place. John saw it on the throne. As you close that particular slide that's before you, might we remember in Revelation 10, one more time the rainbow was seen as another reminder, as the beasts are soon to arrive, that God is still in control. I close that slide by inviting each of us to remember somewhat about that constant reminder of God's faithfulness. God cannot lie, Titus 1, verse 2. He always does that which is in accordance to His will. Surely in all that connection, we are left with a few colors. Red, green, blue, black, And now as we've thought about the rainbow, I would pause long enough to say, I have tried to emphasize, based on the Word of God, the sweetness of that rainbow's reminder. I understand quite well that modern movements have conscripted the rainbow in another purpose and another way. Our LGBTQIA and so on communities have chosen to employ the rainbow as supposedly a matter of acceptance and inclusivity, but that's a shame, for the Bible doesn't present it that way. And I know that you and I will be thankful for the Bible's truthful representation and the reminder it presents us about the sweetness of the sureness of God's promises in the rainbow. This next slide will take even a step further to white. Now, the rainbow presents, of course, the colors segregated to where we can see them distinguished. But white, of course, is the composition of the colors, all the colors together. The Bible uses white, refers to white, and in fact has many passages that relate to white. And I thought it wise to take just a few moments and discuss these as well. You and I sometimes can use a prism, sometimes even naturally seeing the separation of the colors, but the Bible refers expressly to white. And I've chosen a few things to begin that discussion. White is associated to the color of milk. White is associated to the color of snow. White's associated to the color of an egg. Isn't it true that that membrane that's in an egg is so white, and yet Job made reference to that? But white is certainly seen in some more notable usages than just that. White is connected to purity. White is associated with a degree of pureness, uncontamination, and idealness with respect to what the purpose and mission of the thing is supposed to be. And so Matthew 28, verse number 3, we notice that on the occasion of the Lord's resurrection, it is said that their white was the color to be seen. White reminded us of what those angelic visitors proclaimed about the risen Savior. White, purity, and that which Jesus, of course, brought about on that occasion. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, we notice whiteness there connected to the opposite of sinfulness. Again, the opposite of it. Now, we earlier noticed that sometimes black and sometimes red, or at least dark colors, were connected to that which was sinful, but we see just the opposite is white. You and I are urged to be white as snow. You and I are urged, you see, to live our life in such a way that we enjoy the forgiveness of God and can be that position that's described as pure. In 1 Corinthians 6, verse number 11, it is there said that those Corinthians were sanctified. They were washed. Think with me about laundry for a moment. You take this article that is otherwise supposed to be white, and yet it's become dirty and dingy due to work or otherwise, and you wash it with the hope that it becomes again white and the color that it's supposed to be. There's many ways in which that idea is used to describe us. We may become darkened by way of sin, but the blood of Christ can cleanse and make pure and white yet again. I've asked you to notice, too, that white is the color of victory. It's the color of joyous triumph. Maybe no text is better at that than the Revelation. Revelation 2:17, Revelation 3:4, our lesson text of the day today. In Revelation 19, all highlight for us the whiteness connected to victory. May I read again Revelation 3, verse number 4. Thou hast a few names even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white. The church at Sardis had its issues and troubles, and yet there were some there who had remained loyal and faithful to the doctrine of the Christ, and they had not moved aside from it. Jesus spoke to them here and said, they shall walk with me in white. Isn't that a beautiful sentence? Isn't that a delightful recognition? I've added to that, as you can see on the slide, that unforgettable passage in Revelation 19, where there we've arrived at near the end of the book. But all the while, one more time, why it is used to describe the triumphant victory of those who are on the Lord's side. Are you and I on the Lord's side? Then the preeminent colors, no doubt, that should come to us are the redness of forgiveness by the blood of Christ and the whiteness of victory through Him. So look at the last list I have for you to consider. That mention of white and the reference to white is often connected to heaven. In Acts chapter 1, verse 10, on the occasion again of the Lord's ascension back to glory, white was the color that was highlighted. Not only that, in Revelation 1:14, one more time as John began the revelation, it was the color white that he highlighted first and foremost. I've added to that the observation in Revelation 4 about the 24 elders were arrayed in white, and they were around the throne of God. In Revelation 7, the redeemed were wearing robes of white. In Revelation 20, the throne of God's judgment was said to be white. That sounds like a lot of white, doesn't it? Can you imagine the glistering beauty of the whiteness of that place? You see, it is a reminder, isn't it, that no defilement will enter there. And this last slide takes us to one final observation about white. It is the absence of defilement. It is the absence of discoloring features connected to what God would find pleasing. Needless to say, to be white, we have to take effort toward that end. Things typically don't stay white by themselves. We have to scrub them and wash them and clean them and otherwise launder them or otherwise. And so I hope that you and I will take a beautiful lesson that we need the constant cleansing of the blood of Christ, living with urgency and faithfulness, because white's the color of heaven. White's the color of victory. White's the color of purity. In Revelation chapter 7, verse 14, described are those who have been baptized in the blood of the Lamb, and their robes have been made white. Every single time you and I have the joyous privilege of witnessing a precious soul baptized into Christ, I know that we're in a position to celebrate and we're thankful for the decision the person has made, but as they emerge from that watery grave, they're white. They've been purified by the blood of the Lamb. They're able to wear white robes now. And that has nothing to do with the color of the robes that they may put on in the back. Their sins have been forgiven. As I address you at this particular time, may we close the lesson in this way. It's been our goal to look at those colors, to think somewhat about them today. Red, oh, how great the need is to be forgiven through the blood of Christ. Green, God's provision, not only physically, but spiritually as well, because we have everything through Christ that we need to be made the way that God would have us to be. Blue, there is a royalty connected to the things of God, and you and I would be wise to ever keep it in mind. There's also to be seen the character of black that occurs to us concerning destruction and even death. There's the rainbow, God's beautiful and trustworthy provision and promise. And finally, there's white, the color of heaven, the color of victory and purity. Are you white today, and am I? If the answer is no, there could be one of two reasons. Maybe you have never allowed the blood of Christ to run over you, to flow over you, and to take away all of those sins and to leave you in the aftermath of white. Today, would you wish to become a Christian? Believe in Jesus with all of your heart and repent of your sins. Confess His name in humility and power and be baptized for the remission of sins. On the other hand, if you have known that way of life and you have in fact walked with strength and fidelity in it for some time, but maybe more recently, your life is not as it ought to be, and maybe others are aware of those decisions and choices, and right now you're living more black than white. Then why not again be washed by the cleansing power of what the Lord makes available to again be renewed in white and to walk with Him in that way? If we could be of assistance or help, if you would make confession of those things and repent of them, we'd be honored, just as they were in Acts chapter 8, to make prayer to God with you and for you. But though that opportunity is extended, if right now we could be of some help in any of these ways, may the colors of the Bible be a gentle reminder to us of God's abundance and provision, and that with Him, all things will be well. If we could be of help, will you not come while together we stand and while we sing?